I would like to draw your attention tonight, please, to verse number 2 of Galatians 6. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. This is a great commandment. It's a great commandment for many reasons. It's a great commandment because of the parallel and the association it has in fulfilling the law of Christ. The law of Christ, that which is an epitome of all that the Lord Jesus taught, all that He came to fulfill in the law of the Lord of the Old Testament, of fulfilling all righteousness. The law of Christ is summarized. The law of Christ is fulfilled in this truth of bearing one another's burdens, because in so bearing we will show indeed the love of God one to another. There are many tasks which are laid upon us by way of responsibility. As adults, it seems that the youthful days are those carefree days, and they are but for a moment. But when we compare them to the years of the harness being on the adult, the years of responsibility that grip all of us, and to mention those temporal cares, well, it would be to state the obvious. And so the concerns that are on each of us every day of our life, beyond the concerns that are applicable to the Christian church. And I say that because for every child of God there is a holy duty. There is a responsibility. We are free indeed in Christ. We are free to live in Christ. But that freedom does not mean license. That is a freedom that brings us into the reality of laboring for the Lord in the vineyard of God as keepers of that vineyard. And this will involve for you as a child of God a conscious effort. It will involve for you a simple obedience to the Word and a humble spirit, saying, as the Lord Jesus said, "Not my will, but thine be done." You see, our humble duty as Christians is going to often be prepared to say, "I want to submit myself to my brethren. I want to submit myself to the needs of others. I most certainly want to submit myself to the will of my Heavenly Father and have the Spirit of God have complete control, complete sway in our life." We are told in this verse to bear some burdens. But as we think about bearing things in the Scripture, there are some things that we are not even worthy to bear. In Matthew chapter 3 and verse 11, regarding the life of John the Baptist, John the Baptist, when he was confronted with Christ, who said to him, "Come and baptize me in order to fulfill all righteousness," John, when he was confronted with the Lamb of God, said, "I am not even worthy to bear the shoes of the Son of God. How therefore can I fulfill and do this task of baptizing the Son of God?" You see, he was confronted, John the Baptist, with Christ, the Son of God, the Creator of the ends of the earth, the One who has brought all things into existence by the word of His power. And as John stood before the Messiah, the Son of God, he realized, "I am but dust and ashes. I am not even worthy to take the shoes of the Son of God." You know, in our life, when we have a healthy view, a healthy understanding, A healthy perception of who Jesus Christ is, of who the Son of God is, then we will realize that our nothingness before Him and our complete unworthiness to do anything for the Lord. And yet, God has called us to be laborers together with Him. The Lord has humbled Himself to include us, miserable sinners, though we have been converted, yet still we are very lame, very worthless, because when we have done everything that is our due, we still must conclude we are unprofitable servants. Yes, my friends, there are some things that we are not worthy to bear, and that is even handling the Word of God, even handling the issues and the things of Christ, and yet He has allowed us to be a part of that most valuable and important ministry. There are some things in the Scripture that we are commanded not to bear. In Matthew 19 and verse 18, it talks there about a false witness. It speaks about an heretic. One who is after the first and second admonition, someone who is putting forward false teaching, false doctrine. When someone like that comes into a gathering, you are to admonish them and speak to their error. But after you speak to them about their error and wrongdoing, if they persist in that error, and this is something that Paul was dealing with in Galatians, about those Jewish believers, so-called, or those who were bringing in this teaching of another gospel, Paul brings the most strict accusation against them, and he says, let them be damned in hell that bring this doctrine. Let them be anathema. You see, once someone is going to undermine the teaching of the Word of God in relating to justification, relating to the fundamental teachings of the Word of God, we are not to bear with that person. We are to reject them and to separate ourselves from them. We are not to bear with a heretic. There's call for separation. There is a biblical separation. There is that which is incumbent upon the child of God to assess, is this truth or is this error? Is this person coming speaking the Word of God faithfully, or are they speaking in error? And if they're in error, the Word of God tells us we are not to bear with a false witness or a heretic. The Lord commands us to try the spirits, whether they be of God. And that trying, that assessing, that judging of the spirits must be in accordance to the Scriptures, the Word of God. And in so making that judgment, we do so carefully, we do so with fear. But we have to remember that it's not about us. And we might feel bad or awkward or a difficult situation if we have to separate ourselves from someone. But friend, remember, this is not about you. It's not about your feelings. It's about faithfulness to the Word of the living God. And I don't think it would have been easy for any of those folks in Galatia to have to stand against those people who are bringing false doctrine and separate themselves from them, saying, we will no longer have fellowship with you. This issue is so important. And what was the importance? It was faithfulness to God's holy Word. Because that's what we are called to be faithful to first and foremost. But there are some things in the Scripture that we must bear. In Luke 14 and 27, it says, whoso doth not bear his cross and come after me, they cannot be my disciple. So there is in the life of the child of God a bearing of the cross of Christ. Now I want you to understand this, because this is a very important point. Do you remember the one who was called upon to carry the cross of Christ? as the Lord was being led from the judgment hall to Golgotha, where he would be crucified, there was one called to carry the cross for Christ. But there is no way that that man could have fully borne the cross of the Lord in the sense of the weight that that meant and the symbolism and the atoning work. There is no way that any of us could bear the cross of Christ and what he did in bearing the sins of the world upon him. But yet the Lord also indicates to us, if we're going to be his disciples, his children, his followers, that there is a cross. There is an association with Christ and his work, his ministry, his people that must be borne. Are you ashamed of the cross of Christ? Are you ashamed, friend, when you are to speak a word for him? Are you bearing the cross of Christ in your everyday life? Are you bearing it when you're called upon to give testimony? If you do not bear that cross, you cannot be the disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. So there is something that we are called upon to bear by way of following the Lord in faithfulness. But there is something that we could never bear. We could never stand in our own strength before the law of God, before Sinai. Sinai represents the Ten Commandments. And as it was on fire, and it smoked with the evidence of God's presence in the days of Moses and the people who were there, none of us can stand before that mountain of the law of God, because we have no righteousness within ourselves. And because we cannot bear up under the weight of that law, nor could we bear up under the agonies of Gethsemane that Christ suffered on our account. Nor could we bear up under the full weight of the cross of our Lord and of the judgment that he bore for us. As Paul argued before Felix of judgment to come, the weight of the cross, the weight of judgment, the weight of penalty, none of us could bear. We could never have gained our own freedom to stand before the judgment seat of Christ in our own goodness, righteousness, or justification. That could never be done. But friends, there are some things that we are compelled to bear, and that's contained in our text tonight as God's people. We are compelled to bear one another's burdens. For by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, Jesus said, if ye love one another. You know, in any church family, there are continual concerns. We cited some of them this morning as we were talking about unsaved family members. There are community concerns as we think about the outreach of the gospel. We are praying again, as I would ask you to pray, that God would lead our elders, our session, as we are planning the spring outreach for our community. We want to know God's leading and guidance. That is a burden, because the responsibility to a large degree of the community and homes around us, people who are without Christ, this church has to be a light. It has to be a witness in this community. It has to speak forth the light of truth, because God will hold us accountable. And if we fail in this responsibility, then, well, it is a great burden. It's a burden upon us. Sometimes we can be overwhelmed by the intensity of attack of those who would come against us, come against the ministry, attack either the minister for what is being preached, or attack the congregation or the testimony of the church as it goes forth in its entirety. And friend, what do we do in a case like that when we're affected by these things? Well, it has the purpose by God of driving us to our knees in prayer and of crying out to the Lord for help, crying out to God for intervention, for a great moving of His Spirit, to pray that we will know that reviving upon a dry and a thirsty land. And the dryness, well, it starts right here. And we need to have God's Spirit to stir our hearts and to bring us with renewed enthusiasm to the work of God here. Problems that we will face, problems of those who are aged in the congregation, those who are the faithful pillars of the church, the faithful prayer warriors, that are, as I mentioned again this morning, not able to come to the place of prayer anymore, though they would be there if they could, but their age inhibits them. Who will take their place? The burden of those who are aged and they cannot come to the Sunday services, and they are weaker and weaker as the days go by. Those who are sick, and every congregation has problems with those folks who have more than their fair share of sickness. Some of us have been blessed with health, and we do not have to be overly concerned with those problems it seems other folks just have double portions of. And that's a burden, that's a problem in a local congregation. And it affects all of us. And my friends, it should affect all of us. This is the very thing that the Holy Spirit is reminding the Galatian Christians about. Problems of unemployment. When things are going well in a society, and there is economic boom, then most people have jobs, they're employed, and they are rejoicing. What has happened to our society, and I'm thinking more specifically of our brothers and sisters in the United States, congregation we've been reminded of in New Hampshire, where there are 13 men in the congregation of about 150 to 200 people that are without work. Now, that's a very high percentage because these people's families are affected, their mortgages are affected, and most certainly the work of God is impacted because those who would normally be employed and bringing their tithes and offerings into the church treasury, that's not happening. So there are many reasons why the local ministry of the church is affected. And in here, some folks also. I've asked you to pray for a man, Benson, who has been coming to our church. He is without employment, and I told him I would bring that burden to you in prayer, and that we would see how God will help and direct. But there are so many issues. There are unsaved family members that we have prayed for, and that burden has been upon all of us. There are unsaved spouses and daughters and sons. There are family needs that, well, we can't go into detail about them too much tonight, but they are there. There are many hurting situations. And if in some way we had of measuring that pain, we would find it to be quite intense. And, you know, we come to the Lord's house, and we come often, our faces are smiling, and we're happy and we shake hands with everybody. But no one really knows the problems that are being born in the heart of that individual. But I believe the closer that we are to God, the closer that we will come to the Scriptures and realize that yes, everyone has these burdens. And as God's people, we are called upon to share those burdens by bearing them one with another as far as we can. It is to the right place that we have come, to the Word of God and to the house of prayer. We have come to seek the Lord. We have come with a desire to fulfill this scripture as much as we can by praying that this would be fulfilled in our lives. Here we are compelled, we are commanded actually, to a great and compassionate work. It is a blessed work that God has called us to. For as the Lord Jesus said to us in the book of Acts, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So, we must realize that this vital work of caring for the flock, of caring for those who have need, it is a mighty work, it is an important work. In verse 2, the word that is burden, it is a word that means a weight. Something that is loud, something in abundance, a heavy weight. Now you may have noticed as we were reading through chapter 6 that you come down to a different word. It almost seems to be a contradiction. If you read verse 5, first of all, for every man, it says, shall bear his own burden. Every man shall bear his own burden. But yet we're told to bear one another's burdens. What you cannot tell is that it's a different word. And the word in the verse 5 is a word that means task or responsibility. And it's the same as in Matthew 11 and verse 30, where Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden or my task is light. But the word that's involved in verse 2 is something that's much weightier, and it brings with it a problem. It brings with it a difficulty. And it's not talking just about the regular duties of life, the regular responsibilities of life, which every man is told is responsible for himself. Because we are told also in the scripture, if a man will not work, neither shall he eat. So the responsibility of being active and being engaged as you are physically able to do so, in other words, you're not to be lazing around. Every man is to do his own work, to bear his own burden, his own task, his own responsibility. But yet when there are things that are too great, there are burdens that are so heavy that they're weighing the individual down, we are told to come and to help that person, to take up, to carry that burden with them. What does this require of you as a Christian? It will require, first of all, effort. This is not something that is just going to be done passing. You cannot face another believer who has a burden and say to them, well, I wish you every blessing and go on your way. It's a bit like what James dealt with in his epistle. But it requires for us as God's people an effort. An effort to, first of all, know what the burden is. And I'm not talking about being nosy or gossiping or intruding into someone's business, but to have that true spiritual concern for the needs of others. And that's going to require an effort on your part. It's going to also require, secondly, your time. Time is the most valuable thing that you possess the older you get. And it's very easy, perhaps, even to push that aside because we are too busy. We don't have the time to invest in the lives of those who have specific needs. Yes, there is effort that's involved, and the effort will require your time. And friend, are you prepared to give of your time to the aid of others, to the needs of others? It will also cost you, thirdly, it will cost you inconvenience. Yes, that's certainly linked with time, but there's more involved in this. There's an inconvenience because your life may well be upset in the helping and assisting of others who have burdens. I know that many things are going on by you as individuals in this congregation to come to the aid of others And the Lord sees, because you're not doing this for any outward show. We're not to be doing this so that we receive a slap on the back. But it will cost you effort, time, and it will inconvenience you. And it may even cause you some discomfort. Are you prepared to move out of your comfort area to be assistance in the work of Christ and to help others? Yes, there is a cost involved, because bearing burdens, by the very nature of the word and by the very nature of the act, it is not easy. If you have to come and share a burden, putting something on your shoulders, maybe it's going to dig into your shoulder a little bit because the weight is heavy. What is the motivation for such a love? Will you turn, please, with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Let us look at some of these verses prayerfully. For Paul says in verse 1, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity or love, I am become as sounding brass or as a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. Love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth, or is not puffed up. It's not filled with vanity. Is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, and endureth all things. Love never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away." The preeminence of love, as far as the characteristic of the child of God, and how, my friends, this will be worked out in your life, in my life, as we endeavor to bear the burdens of others. Do you know, as we bear those burdens, we are sharing and taking that portion. "This is my commandment," the Lord Jesus said, "that ye love one another, that your joy may be full." John 15 and verse 12. Is your joy filled up tonight? Or are you running on half a tank? Or is the needle near empty and you have not much joy? Perhaps you should examine this particular point in life and say, "Do I have this commandment being fulfilled of bearing the burdens of others?" Because we do have that love one for another that the Lord Jesus talks about. He says to bear burdens of others and so fulfill the law of Christ. And what was this law of Christ that we intimated to a little bit earlier? When Jesus was asked what is the first and great commandment, He said that we are to love God with all our hearts, souls, minds, and strength. And He went on to say the second is like unto it, to love our neighbors as ourselves. And then He said this, "Upon these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." It's fulfilled right there. Brethren, let us not love in word or in deed, neither in tongue, but rather, the Scripture says, in deed and in truth. Combining all of these things together, that the Lord Jesus may be magnified in our lives. Friends, if you have a burden to bear, and it's heavy and grievous, the first place you need to take that particular burden is to the Lord. And the Lord has promised to hear your prayer, but He has also promised, and He uses means to accomplish the end of that prayer. And it may well be that as you have been pouring your heart out to God about that burden and concern, that He is going to bring a believer alongside you. He is going to bring a comforter, a paraclete alongside you. The Holy Spirit has been given to be our comforter, but God uses those in the local fellowship. I wonder, could you make a phone call? Send a card? Let someone know that you're thinking about them and praying for them, some elderly person, some person who's not been in the house of God for some time. It means so much. Perhaps you would think about taking a card and sending it off to the Morris family in Jamaica. Let them know you love them in the Lord. And that would be a way of bearing that burden. You know, sometimes it's not so much the great things that are done, is it? It's sometimes the little thing, because that little thing speaks volumes, and it might be just that word of encouragement that that person needs at that particular time. May God write His word upon your hearts tonight and encourage us all to ask, what more can we do? And Lord, help us to be observant and open to these things. Now, I've been speaking tonight to God's people, but I would leave this invitation to any who do not know the Lord tonight, and you realize your heart is not right with God. You need the Lord, you need the Savior. Wait behind afterward. We'd be happy to show you from God's own truth how you can know beyond any shadow of a doubt that it's well with your soul and that you know and love the Lord as your